Lessons this morning are taken from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep His decrees, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His way. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. And then also from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving according to human instinctions? Are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Luther Hunt told me a remarkable story this week, and I wanted to share it with you. It was a story of when his dad was dying, and they had him at home, and they had a hospital bed, and they put it by a window. And Luther said that his sister knew how much his dad loved to watch the birds, so she devised like this plank and put it outside the window and put bird seed on it. And his bed was right by that window, and she said the birds would come and eat the seed, and he could be there in his hospital bed during his last days and enjoy the birds right outside the window. Then after the day that his dad died, his mother went in there after everything was done and stretched out on the bed, on that hospital bed, and was looking out the window at the birds on the plank with the bird seed. And she was so terribly distraught, and she was worried, and she was fearful. And she said, Lord, I really need a sign that He is okay, that everything is all right, and that He is with you. And if there's any way that you could give me a sign, I would very much appreciate it. Right then she looked at a tree near the window, and she saw two cardinals, male and female, and they were regulars there. She'd seen them before. She said that they would always, one would come and the other one would stay in the tree. One would come down, eat seed, fly back, and the other one would come down and eat seed. And they did that day after day after day. They would never both fly down and eat the seed together. And so she was watching them in the tree, and the other birds were there, and both the redbirds flew down and got on the plank. She said, they've never done that. They've always done it one at a time. And then they simply stood there. They did not eat the seeds that were offered. That's the only reason they ever came to the plank, was to eat the seeds. But she said they just stood there, and then they looked at each other, and then they touched beaks. And then they flew away together. She said she had never seen anything like it. They never ate a single seed. They just touched beaks and flew away. It meant so much to her that God had given her this sign. God had given her this sign. It made her happy that God heard her prayer and answered her prayer in that way. How easy it would be to be happy in the Lord if every prayer turned out just that way. If every prayer was immediately answered in that way in a very concrete, realistic fashion where we could see it through the eyes of faith and know this is God doing this. The psalmist is obviously very aware of our need to be happy. Start of verse 1, start of verse 2, the psalmist says, happy are those. And he fills out the remainder with how we can be happy in the Lord, how to be happy in the Lord. And he gives us these timeless words, these ancient words, which are still so very true and so very powerful today, inspired words of God, telling us indeed the reality of being happy in the Lord. Verse 1, he says, happy are those whose way is blameless. And go, okay, well, that's easy. I'll just be blameless as I live out my life, and then I'll be happy in the Lord. And then you realize, uh-oh. That may be the harder way or the hardest way to be happy in the Lord, because how many of us are blameless in what we do? How many are blameless just this morning getting to church? Are we blameless in the Lord doing that as well? It's difficult. We realize this whole thing of blame, this whole understanding of blame and how hard and difficult and painful that could be. In my first appointment, I had this marvelous older couple. They were so faithful and they were so sweet and they were so kind and they were so involved with that small church, and just everyone loved them and adored them. And then one day the husband died, and after the funeral I went to see the wife and the lady, and she was just the sweetest lady. When I got there, she was not happy. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. And I was thinking, you know, grief counseling or whatever, but she was not happy about something else. She said, I went in there and I got Ralph's Bible. She said, I wanted to read out of his Bible. And she said, I noticed on almost every page, there were multiple little clips. There were clips, all these little clips in his Bible, just so many of these little clips. And she said, I was thinking, what? Is this marking like every page for favorite verses or something? She said, I couldn't figure it out. And I was looking at it going, why all these clips? I've never noticed them, but they're all through his Bible. And she said she was looking through it, and then there was a little like postcard in there, and she pulled it up. And it was from a TV evangelist. Now, there are some good TV evangelists, don't get me wrong. Then there's some bad TV evangelists. There are some good pastors, and they're bad pastors. But this little card said, here's your next clip. It obviously had been a part of the envelope with the little card. It said, remember, you put it in your Bible and you put a $20 or a $50 or a $100 bill and you close your Bible up and you pray, and then you send that bill to me, and then I will make sure God does whatever you ask for. Now, these people weren't wealthy. They weren't poor, but they weren't wealthy by any means. And she looked at all those clips in his Bible. And he handled the money. He paid the bills, so she had no idea. But she could tell, even if those were 20s, and if there were 50s or 100s, she said that was a lot of money. And she was disturbed that he had sent all that money to someone without even asking her about it. And then right after that, she told me later that she started getting all of these letters that he had opened and spared her from, but letters from other evangelists saying, we so much appreciate your last donation. Please hurry and give us more. and all this stuff. And she said, I have no idea how much of our money he spent, but he spent a whole lot more than he should have. And she said, now I realize our savings are very low, and he must have been spending all this money for prayer requests, meaning it in a good way, but she was so angry at him for doing that without even talking to her about it. And she couldn't remember the good for remembering that bad. And she knew that she was in basically financial trouble because of what he had done. And she was devastated. She was devastated, and I'm sure for as long as I knew her, she never forgot that. And she always blamed him for her financial troubles. God could do the same with us. God could look at us and say, you can't go one day, you can't go 1 hour without something that is not right in your faith walk, and how you follow the ordinances of God. It's so difficult for you to walk in ways that are blameless. The marvelous and the good news is that, as the psalmist says, happy are those whose way is blameless. Our way is through Jesus Christ. Our way is that we are blameless through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross, through our resurrected Savior. We are, in the eyes of God, blameless, even when we sin, even when we fall on our face, even when we do make mistakes. Who doesn't make mistakes? But Christ says, I've got this. You are indeed blameless in the eyes of God. Christ says, I've lifted you up. Now go and walk in the way that leads you to a better understanding of how to serve God, how to indeed be as blameless as we can be, not turning back to our sins. Happy is the one whose way is blameless through Jesus Christ and through the encouragement of Christ as well. He says also, happy are those who seek him with their whole heart. Seeking God with our whole heart. I always like that fact that he doesn't say seeking him with your heart. He says seek him with your whole heart, with every bit of you, every part of you, seeking God, seeking God's ways, seeking God's instructions. And then we realize if we're to be happy, we should, out of gratitude for what Christ has done to us, we should seek God with our whole heart, and then we can examine ways in our day-to-day living, in the details of our life, in which we can seek God with all of us, with every bit of us, with our whole heart, and with all of our energy to seek God, to seek God's guidance, to seek where God is calling us, to seek the paths that we should walk, and that, according to the psalmist, and according to our faith in Jesus Christ, teaches us that we can be happy as we seek God with everything that we are. The psalmist continues and says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast. Steadfast is one of those words that we read so much in the Bible, and the Bible loves that word steadfast. And then, you know, it's not a word we use that much in common everyday speaking. We don't think of steadfast. If you look it up, it says trustworthy. But then another definition is unwavering. Unwavering. Unwavering in our dedication, our loyalty to God, that our ways are unwavering in how we relate to God and how God relates to us, and that we are unwavering in our faith with God, unwavering in our journey with God, knowing that we are here to serve God and God is here with us no matter what, and that God's presence is always here. Unwavering in our devotion to God, unwavering in our trust of God, unwavering in our joy of serving our Lord. I hope that you have a very good friend, a best bud, and that you can understand and relate to how that friend is unwavering. It doesn't matter if you do everything right. You don't have to put forth a lot of effort around this best friend, long-term friend. You don't have to worry about, did I say something stupid? Did I do something? Did I offend them? a best friend who is unwavering in their care and love of you and you to them. That's what God is talking about here. That's what the psalmist says, that if we have that sort of love and devotion, dedication to God, steadfast, trustworthy, unwavering, then happy are we. Happy are we when we know that God's love for us is unwavering, without question. And then our love for God can be just that way, also steadfast, also unwavering, no matter what, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what the pain. He continues on, having your eyes fixed on all your commandments. Having our eyes fixed on the way that God has said, this is pleasing in my sight, to live a life that is as holy as you can be, as dedicated as you can be, as loving others as you can be, to have your eyes fixed always on that, on those things that are commandments. Jesus Christ said, of course, love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Self, neighbor, God, God, neighbor, self. Whatever order you put it in, I think God always goes first. But definitely having our eyes fixed on that. That is our purpose. That is our duty. That is what we're called to do. And to be unwavering in that, to have our eyes fixed on that and that alone. When I was at Clemson, the chemistry building, I don't know if it's still there. They've changed everything over there. And it wasn't that long ago that I was at Clemson. I started there 45 years ago. Isn't that crazy? But we were in the chemistry building. One of our professors said, y'all notice the main entrance there, the chemistry building? We said, yeah. And he said, you remember that? You see that big giant concrete column that's there? Because the building on the second floor jutted out, and then that was the entrance, and they had this big column there on the point of where it jutted out that formed basically the roof of the entrance. And he said, when they designed this building, they didn't have that column there because it was, what is it, counterlevered or whatever it was, and that part that jutted out, and it was perfectly secure. And even though it jutted out to a point, and you had to walk underneath it to get in the main doors, he said it was perfectly safe, except people kept looking at it going, wait a minute, there's nothing supporting this. And people started saying, you know, one of these days when we're walking there and that part of the roof, or that part of the rest of the building is just going to smash down on you because there's nothing here supporting it. And they kept saying, no, that's the way it's designed. It's designed to look like nothing's there, but, you know, it's counterlevered or whatever. I'm using the wrong words. Engineers will correct me later. But it's just simply that's what it is. And people got to where they would not use that entrance. They were saying, we're not going underneath that thing. So then they said, okay, let's put a big old concrete column there to make it look like it's supporting it. The concrete column's there. It's not supporting anything. It's just there for looks, and I guess it's still there, and it's there for looks so that people would trust that they could walk underneath there. To me, that's what life is. We look for all the things that can give us support, all the things that we can see, that we can touch, that we know are real, and in actuality, those things do nothing whatsoever. God has us. God has us in God's care. God has us in what God would call upon us to do. And all we have to do is keep our eyes fixed on God, not on those things that we can see that are actually probably the most false things in the world, but on God, who is the one in whom we can trust, in whom we can love, knowing indeed that in every way God has this, that God is with us. He says also, I will praise you with an upright heart. And we understand the praise of God and how important that is to give glory to God. When we worship, we are doing just that, praising, giving glory to God, taking time out of our busy schedules, our time of our energy as well, saying, I'm going to spend this time and this energy praising God with everything I have so that I'm keeping my eyes fixed on that part of it, praising God, but also each and every day to praise God for the gifts that God gives us, the ways in which God is there. And sometimes you have to remind yourself to say, remember, look for the gifts. Look for those things that are very real and very powerful. Look for those ways in which God says, here is a little blessing. And if we start being aware, God is with me. God is my shepherd. God is my guide. God is my strength. God cares for me. Then you realize that as you walk through the day, as you walk through hour, there are these little gifts that are there for you. Little gifts all along the ways. Little gifts that give us encouragement and strength. Little gifts that tell us God is with us. And God cares even about the details of our lives, even those smallest of details. And he says in verse 8, I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. If we're happy in the Lord, we know that the last thing that God would ever do would be to forsake us, that God would certainly never dream of forsaking us. God is there for us, and God's hope and God's love and the power of God, the endless, limitless power of God is there for us. We are not forsaken. During World War II, during the Battle of Britain, that mainly affected London, the story, which I've understood is a true story, was that a church was there and that they were worshiping and they were having a harvest worship. So on the altar, they had a lot of times what we do in churches here, more at Thanksgiving time, but they had like ears of corn and things like that on the altar as a sign of the gratefulness for the harvest. And so they were doing an autumn harvest festival at the church. And then, of course, bombs started to drop and everything, so they all went to the bomb shelters. And their church was hit, and their church was destroyed by the bombs during that one attack during the Battle of Britain, during all that time, during World War II. And so then, months later, when it became springtime, they were there, and the building was just in ruins and demolished and everything else. And some of the members went into where the altar was, or had been, and they realized that the corn they had had on there had somehow fallen and gotten into the dirt and debris, and the corn was sprouting up where the altar had been. God saying, even in the devastation, I'm here. Let me show you how hope in me is never ending. Hope in me is always true. How you can be happy in the Lord, no matter what. I love how 1 Corinthians 3:9 puts it. We are God's field. We are God's building. God is with us. We can be happy that we are God's field, that God is working in our lives, planting the seeds, cultivating, harvesting, blessing us so that we can grow that field of hope, that field of love, that field of faith, that field of steadfastness with the Lord, that we can find our happiness, our true happiness in the Lord. Let us pray.